Interview with George Moriarty. This is in connection with the 50 years of soil conservation, the golden anniversary of the soil conservation movement as we know about it. And George is a retired SCS district conservationist who started with the CCC camps in the 30s. And George, why don't you tell me a little bit more about some of your experience in the CCC camp, some of your responsibilities and duties when you started in the CCC camps, and how you got to know Lauren Lyon?
Well, beginning in the CCC, we did touch on it before, but when I first went in 1933, of course, the first thing they called for was who could drive truck. And I stuck my hand up because everybody wanted to be a truck driver, but they didn't see me. But those who were truck drivers got to police the area, see, and got KP.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up in the kitchen, anything to get out of hard work. So I cooked there for a while, and then I became mess sergeant, and I had that job for a year or so. And then I got to be first sergeant, which is, as in the Army, is the top non-commissioned. Mm-hmm. CCC camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that. I stayed on there a long, long time. I did do some moonlighting. I was in the life insurance business while I was still a mess sergeant, or first sergeant, so I had time to be out. Lauren Lyon was in there at this same time. Lauren was began as a truck driver. He was a company truck driver, and then he went on as a foreman with the Soil Conservation Service, and after another year or so, then I went on also as a foreman, and that's where we got our start.
Mm-hmm.
And worked from there, and then when they said we can't travel, we went into the district. But the camps were operated in that way, and with about 200 kids coming and going, and very good training.
When you sent these crews out, how large were these crews that would go out to work on, say, a structure? Well, how did you transport them around and this sort of thing?
Well, I had about a dozen big trucks that we used to use to take the crews.
These were kind of like military trucks where sit in the back part of them with the canvas over the top?
The Army had that, because the Soil Conservation Service, we had 2-ton Dodge trucks. Most of them were about 1936 vintage, with covers on the back and would carry about 20 men. And the crews would vary, of course, some, depending what kind of work they were doing. You get in some of this willow revetment, we could use a lot of people, a lot of rocks in there. And those rocks were all carried in place by hand.
Well, these were taken from the stream channel then and placed up on the slopes, or were they imported in some
cases? Most of them were quarried from a nearby quarry.
Oh, and these were limestone then.
Limestone. And they always had a quarry crew going, because there was rock used for building, and also we also had a small crusher going, because there was another thing the farmers were provided, was limestone, because nobody could see any reason for using limestone. One of the things in selling limestone, the use of lime, crushed lime that is, in the fields, take the farmer out in an area along a gravel or along a crushed rock road into an alfalfa field.
Mm-hmm.
And show them, look at the alfalfa right along the road where the dust drifts in. You get better alfalfa than you have farther back.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't believe in using that.
So you had to sell them on use of limestone to bring that pH up to grow legumes.
Right, and to better utilize the other nutrients. Oh, our farmers have gotten so smart in the last while. Back 40 years ago, you could tell a farmer what this fertilizer would do, how he should apply it, and so on. Well, today, most of them know more about it than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's changed.
But they learned through this.
Now, you've got some more pictures here, too. This looks like kind of a crude grader there, George. Why don't you tell me about that picture?
Well, it's
worked on a gully control, apparently.
Yeah, I think this is terrace construction.
Oh, terrace
right
construction.
You go in first and plowed it, and then go in with this like a homemade snow plow. A wing just made out of lumber with a wing deal. It's a big long moldboard running along the upper bank and push the dirt out to build a terrace. That's the way we did it. Primitive, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now here you've got a picture that shows quite a slope, and you've got some narrow strips and wider strips. Tell me about that, George.
Well, people that wouldn't go along with this half hay deal, which was necessary if you had alternate strips of hay and cultivated crops, used what we call buffer strips. It was a compromise. Not too effective, but it did do some good. And at least it got them on the contour. It kept them on the contour. That's for sure. You only got maybe a 10-foot buffer strip, but it does. It helps.
And they were seeded in grass and legumes.
They were allowed to stay in grass.
Grass. And then you'd have tilled crops between those, like in this case.
Theoretically, when it had to come up again, the next time they were established, they were moved up or down so that you had new grass.
And it would trap the sediment coming off the slopes then, apparently.
A picture here, which doesn't really look so great, but it's one, and I use this personally, in an area in Winona County where the farmer did have contour strip cropping and planted his corn on the strip and on the contour. And I had him take the end of the strip and plant up and downhill. And this is only about an 80-foot strip. And then went back after a hard rain and took some pictures of it. And you see all the rilling from the up and down.
Looks like there's a lot of erosion on this.
Followed the corn row right down there. A lot of erosion. And this other one shows where it is held.
That tells quite a story. Two pictures there between the contouring and up and down the hill tillage. Far as erosion.
Besides good workers, you know, we had some terrific salesmen in the early days of the Soil Conservation Service. Oh, John Staley, I think of him. I also learned to tell stories from John.
Well, here you've got a picture that has shown some severe bank erosion with a house standing above it. Yeah, boy, that looks like this stream bank erosion has been pretty severe getting up toward the lawn. And
if this were only known, the person who lived here was old Clint Dobbelstein. He was the first district supervisor in the first district established in Winona, established in Minnesota. The very first.
That's where he lived, in that house.
That's where he lived. And, you know, he might even be living now because he just didn't ever want to leave. Probably be 90 or more years of age today, but and this 20 years before they had driven some piling in trying to keep the stream Cedar Brook from coming in to cutting out his front yard there. And there's Thor Berg. There's another one. You go back into the old days. Thor Berg was a very dedicated conservationist, fast talker, good salesman, and he's got his hand here on a post that was way above. It was a piling some years before. But here again, we used CC labor, went in, sloped it, hauled in the rocks, put on willows, and nice looking job.
Yeah, got riprapping at the
riprapping
base.
Riprapping all along there.
And it sure looks like it will do the job. That's probably still doing the job at that particular time.
Very likely is. This was done in 1940. So
you've got some other pictures. Tell me about this structure. Picture, George. It looks like some masonry work there and some.
Well, you're still doing this probably in a different way, Don, but it's a gully, and upstream we see a structure, and right in the foreground we see a structure, and rather than the dirt fills that you use today, it was a wall was built out of limestone, and two conduits, installed, two culverts, to lower the water down to the lower level. Build up a little, hold a little water back, but the main thing was to lower it safely through these pipes. Gully control.
Mm-hmm. That's very similar to our gully control structures. The only thing is it's made out of stone rather than out of earth.
You got to keep remember that Houston County, in the extreme southeastern part of Minnesota, is very unique. They've got very good soil, they've got very steep land, it's the unglaciated area of Minnesota, a small area in Houston County. A little bit more rainfall than anywhere else, and more hills.
This is close, getting closer to the Mississippi River then?
It's right on the Mississippi. It's the extreme southeastern corner of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It's the Iowa on one side, Mississippi River on the other side.
These are silt soils there that are
right,
real fertile, but there
are many of them. Yeah, they're subject to lush, lowest, whatever you want to call it.
Subject to severe sheet and water erosion.
Very, very erosive. And all, so all the first year got quite a bit of prairie salt up in the upper lands there. They are very, very productive salt.
Well, I want to thank you, George, for all of this information regarding the early days of the Soil Conservation Service, the soil conservation movement in southeastern Minnesota, and relating some of your experiences in the early CCC camps, working on erosion control projects. And this interview was conducted as a part of the 50 years of soil conservation movement, which we're observing, the actual day that the Soil Conservation Service was organized was April 27th, 1935, and now we're celebrating the golden anniversary of soil conservation, and this was an interview with George Moriarty, retired Soil Conservation Service employee. And thank you for the information, George.
I enjoyed it very much. It's nice to reminisce like this, and although things have changed a lot, I still like to think of the good we did in the good old days.
Thank you, George.